You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast from Los Angeles. I'm Mike McClendon. I'm hosting this week's episode. I was a guest on last episode, but today I have a new guest. And their name is Kimia Bepornia.
There you go.
I did it.
Yes.
If you follow her, you might know her from the mod team's Sugar and the current mod team Gorgeous. And she's also a member of the Herald team Leroy, which I have the pleasure of coaching.
That's right.
So this should be a note-filled conversation.
This will be great. I was saying we haven't had a one-on-one, and this could just be it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I as a coach, like to do one-on-ones with all of the people that I coach, and we haven't done yours yet. It would be really weird to do this live.
I don't mind.
Okay, great. cool. well, then, let's start here, because I do coach, and I think it's always helpful to know this. Like, what was your journey here?
Journey to UCB?
Yeah, yeah.
So I started just improv in general in, first in fourth grade, if we're really getting down to it. I was very shy, so my dad enrolled me in an after-school program in fourth grade, where we just played, like, silly short-form games.
Yeah.
So I did that. But then I did, like, math and robotics through middle school and all that. So I just, like, I left it behind. But in high school, I did comedy sports. I'm sure a lot of people in high school did that. It was, like, the only improv widespread accessible to anyone in high school.
Yeah.
And so I just loved it. And I stayed in L.A., so I stayed with that company, too. I did the college team. Which is just college age people doing more short form. And just from there, since I was still in LA and I went to UCLA, I was just taking classes everywhere. So while I was at UCLA, I was taking classes, UCB, IO. I did a Second City teen troupe. I just wanted to take everybody's classes.
I coached Second City teen troupe. Yeah.
Were you my coach?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe.
But that was my first coaching gig as I got hired to coach.
Detention Hall?
Detention Hall. I coached Detention Hall for 2 years.
Yes.
So Detention Hall is like, it is, it's like ages... Like 11 to 16, to be honest.
18.
Like 18.
I so was you, 17 or 18.
You could have an ensemble with like an 11-year-old in it and an 18-year-old in it. And the challenge was like making it fun for both types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I coached a girl in detention hall who will be the funniest person in the world. Like when she's done with college. I think she's in Chicago right now taking class. But to start at 11 and just to like do it forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's... And as kids, you're great at make-believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great. What was I saying? Oh, just where I took classes. Okay. And then, so that's how I came to UCB, was just when I was trying to take classes everywhere. And then I really liked UCB because it was the hardest for me to figure out.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to keep taking the classes and practice group and try to figure it out. And I still haven't figured it out. But I feel much like you get more confident every time. And so I liked coming back because it was like more for my brain. Like I feel like all the other improv was like easy because I could feel it in my body, feel characters' feelings and things like that. But I wasn't so good at like identifying game and like writing a scene on its feet, not narratively or through character lens necessarily, right? So that's why I kept coming back here.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I think like everybody finds like their path out here.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do improv, you figure out which school kind of speaks to you. And that was I had a similar like experience with UCB, which is it's impossible to say this is the right way to do improv. But what I learned through them is like here's a structure to it, and if everybody agrees to that same structure, you can have a lot of fun within the rules of that framework. You know, Well, that's cool. You do sketch and you do improv.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the different, do you have to shut off a certain part of your brain for each of those?
Or? No, I feel like I do the same thing in both places. I use my brain more for improv. because on the sketch team, at least here for the mod teams, we just have to come in beginning of the month and pitch characters or ideas that we have. And that's as like creative in an improv sense that we get, because after you pitch something, people will pitch back and then you'll decide jokes or like what's the characters really about, maybe what game they're going to be doing. But then the writers, since I'm an actor on a team, the writers take like 3 meetings by themselves to write up any ideas they had. Mm-hmm. I've collaborated with the writers before, but that's still like very different because it's a lot of like you can sit and think about it for a long time and then
punch stuff up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Then you don't say a lot of ideas out loud, where I feel like if I was doing this on its feet, I would say all my bad ideas out loud and even see how they work out, and somebody else would make them work out, which maybe would work in writing too. I should say my bad ideas and then have somebody else help me figure it out, because it's a team thing, right? But so that's why it's different. But then when we put things on their feet to block, like before a show, that's probably where I use the most improv, because I feel like I get pretty silly at rehearsal. I don't know. I just add stuff just to do bits.
Yeah.
And sometimes they make it into the sketches because we're just there to have a good time. So, but like make good content, of course. I'll say that too.
Yeah.
But like that's where I do the most improv. But it's like within the realm of whatever sketch it is. Yeah.
So I have a question like regarding sketch. It from what I understand with the mod process, like sometimes you do a sketch and you might not do it again in front of a live house. Like for the ones that you really love and have performed multiple times, like how many times do you feel like you need to perform a sketch to like know how to hit the beats of it, the best beats of it,
ooh,
right?
Well, when I was on Sugar, there was a sketch that we did like 5 times.
Yeah.
Where I was a reverse mermaid.
Uh-huh.
So it was just like a fish on top, human on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a classic reverse mermaid, but this reverse mermaid was like walking around bragging about how it got its pussy eaten, and that's like what it can do when the other mermaids can't because they have fish tails, whatever.
Sure.
Which is like, that's the sketch I did 5 times.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think it got just more like casual/crude every time I did it, because that's what worked when you were just like so plainly saying like, oh, I got my pussy eaten, suckers. You just gotta be like chill about it. I think that's all that happened to that one, where you figure out that like the shock value is in how calm you are about this joke, where on probably the first night we did it, I was just like, I myself was nervous because my parents were there and I don't do a lot of this like crude comedy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh no. And it probably just was laughing at the words and my unconfident confidence
right.
in it. So doing it 5 times desensitized me, and I was like, I get what this is about now. So you just like feel the joke more, and it feels like more, it's not planned because it's fun every time and it's new because of the audience, but you just know, like you can feel in your body, like the cartoonish beats of like what your face or your body needs to do in conjunction with the words.
Yeah.
Like I use my whole body when even right now I'm talking to you and
yeah,
I'm moving my hands.
You've hit me twice.
I just keep punching you while I talk. But I move like a cartoon. So the more I do a sketch, the more I like solidify what weird cartoony movement I do. And I think that's what helps doing them repeatedly.
Yeah, like I think like one of the best things about sketch is like if you can find that one that you do 12, 13 times, like you really feel the rhythms of it and find new jokes and angles or ways to deliver a line. And I think that's so hard when like sketch is just like written once and then it's out.
Yeah.
It's done, you don't do it again. It's like maybe you need a bunch more shots to like figure out all the angles on it.
Yeah, which is cool that we get to do best ofs every month, so
yeah.
we can pick which sketch we want to do over again. And then at Star Punch, we sometimes get invited to do sketches over again, so that's great. And we could always do a spank. Any mod team could do a spank where we just do more of the same sketches that we liked.
Right.
I guess there's some opportunity aplenty.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess if we're starting in fourth grade, you've done improv for
quite
some time, right?
Well, I skipped some years to build robots.
Yeah, but they're comedy robots.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they told jokes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, which were hard to understand because there was no feeling behind
no,
them.
No.
Would you say like you are confident in your own comedic voice now, or is that something you're still discovering?
No, I definitely think I feel pretty confident in my comedic voice. I like know what I think is funny, which is a lot of silly, dumb, cartoonish, like classic bit type jokes and like characters is what I think is funny. So I think I figured that out because it's what I laugh at the most mm-hmm. and what I end up doing the most. I feel pretty confident in like I understand what I like to do and what I like to watch. So yeah. I think so.
Yeah, like what are your early comedy influences? Oh, is it like Looney Tunes style?
It
is
wasn't
like...
Looney Tunes, but it was whatever shows were on Nickelodeon, and they're all still on late night TV right now, so I still watch them at night. It's like Hey Arnold, Rugrats, Cat Dog, those like silly dumb shows.
Yeah.
I also, when I was little, watched a lot of Abbott and Costello, so just like those classic two-man bits.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot of those. Love those. And even... The old Disney Channel shows, like or even Stevens and Jet Jackson, they were just like hyper realities where they were like real people, but being so cartoony.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't
yeah.
very broad. It's like this fine line that I can't define where they're not like being broad and hokey. They just feel like real grounded character human beings that are cartoons. I don't know, man.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though.
I hope somebody does.
Well,
know.
It's that like. Those, like, really fun cartoons kind of scratch both itches because they are silly, but they're also well-written or they
yeah.
get patterned very well.
They have a lot of heart, too. It's not yeah. just, like, honking your nose for 30 minutes and, like, slipping on banana peels. They
yeah.
all have, like, something that they really deeply want, and they can get real for a second, and it's sweet but and dumb.
Yeah. Those cartoons, there's like sometimes there's like a moral lesson to them.
I love that.
And because there is, they have to be written or performed with some intent behind
yeah.
them to like not just be funny, but to like get out on some sort of message.
Everything's important, right? It all has some sort of a meaning, right?
Yeah.
I like that. They're like, there's always something underneath the silly thing that everybody's doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I talk a lot about like what I love in comedy currently is just the idea of our ability to use it as a weapon, you know, like it's satire and like our ability to say things, especially like in our current climate.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite notes to give right now is just a point blank ask, like, what do you find funny about that? Because I like you need yes. to vocalize out loud what you're doing because that might lack tact or the angle that you're hitting isn't satirical enough. You're like you're accidentally taking the side of the bullies, like
yeah.
in the way you're performing that, you know?
That's important. That's good.
Yeah.
You've asked us that before
yeah.
at our rehearsals.
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that's the cool thing about your all's team is like you guys do have the ability to hit these satirical scenes and like talk about stuff that you value or that you find important. And it's comedy can be very funny and also have a message baked underneath it that,
oh, yeah.
that says something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very important.
The more you know.
Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who were, or what were some of your early, like, gotcha, like, or sorry, not gotcha, but like, you locked in your head of like, I'm going to remember that note. Like
oh.
stuff that like helped you on your way.
Oh, okay. I don't know if this is like a classic, everybody has this answer, but
yeah.
I read, Mick Napier's book Improvise
mm-hmm.
in like either high school or when I was a freshman in college. And I read that and I was like, what do you mean there are no rules?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, you're right. There aren't any rules. The rules are born from like fear that we won't know what to say or what to do and how to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
But you can watch two strangers do nothing and it still be an entertaining scene as long as they know what like each person knows who they are and they have an intention in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, wow, you're right. I don't need to come out and be like, hello, you and I, we are chickens. We are looking for food and we are in a farm.
Yeah. That there are no rules. Is one of those perfect rules that like can ruin a student or like open up so many doors
oh,
for them.
Oh, I loved it.
Because like it, in the way that it ruins is like, oh, it's just anarchy. Cool. Like,
no.
But the other one is like, no, like get out of your head and
yeah.
be present and realize like there aren't rules. You just have to be in the moment,
mm-hmm.
like paying attention to what's happening. Every scene is different.
That's right.
Yeah.
You sort of play a version of a human being in that situation, right? And you don't have to know more than your actual self knows. You just have to play from your own point of view, which I think is so good. UCB does that a lot, which is just mm-hmm. like truth in comedy, right? So that's so helpful.
Yeah. So were there other ones along the way?
I think this was just like 2 years ago. I forget who was teaching I should remember who was teaching this workshop, but they were like, there are no new relationships. Because coming from short form, that's like a suggestion get for, right? Yeah. Which is like, what's a relationship between two people? And so since high school, I'd always think like, what's a fun relationship you can shout out? I'd be like, oh, a gambler and a bookie, right? Yeah. But then like, if you think about it, that's just friends or coworkers.
That's
right?
Nouns. Like that's what I've always thought of it. Like you're shouting out nouns.
Right.
Like a relationship is more of like, there's tension underneath this because we're coworkers who like secretly like each other. The relationship is that. It's not.
It's layered.
We work together.
Yeah. So you can't really. You don't need to get too creative with the type of the relationship. It's like family, your friends, your coworkers, your roommates, whatever. But what it's about is how these two people feel about each other, which is like I don't have to put them in a fun context.
Yeah.
It's just about how they feel. Like it could be two regular people that are coworkers, but how do they feel?
Yeah.
Is what's important.
That's a great note is I think too often times we get caught up on, again, the nouns, the who, what, where, and we're not like checking in that to play human beings, right?
Yeah.
And that's not to say we can't be silly cartoon characters. I think like one of your strengths as a performer for sure is you get in your body, you have a character, but they're a person, right? Like, like a valuable thing I learned in my time at Second City was actually when I was teaching character class, I was talking to like the AD there and he reminded me of like, character starts inside out, you know? Like too often times when you tell somebody to play a character, like, oh, I'll do something weird with my body and a weird accent and now I'm a character. It's like, no, you're an accent and a physicality.
Exactly.
Like, what's underneath that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true. I learned that too. Yeah. I don't know if this is something I learned, but this is something I used to do before shows. Since I realized that like my own point of view and my own knowledge is what's fun that I bring to a show, I would like do something like play a video game all day. Like I'd play Skyrim all day and then be like, I'm going to come in with all these weird Skyrim specifics because that's what I did all day. Or I would like in college, I was reading Jekyll and Hyde. And I remember I did an improv show that night where all I did was rattle off like stuff about homosexuality and Jekyll and Hyde in relation to a scene. And I was like, that's a specific nobody else could have come up with. And I didn't make it up. It's just like from my daily POV and it happened to fit into the scene. And
yeah.
It's just like that was very fun for me. So I liked purposefully reading or watching or doing something that I could like maybe reference later as a fresh take on something.
Yes, I love that. Like I love the idea of like mentally kind of preparing before a show too. I always like that. But you know, sometimes students ask it like, how can you do improv or how can you do homework for improv outside of it when you don't have a person to play off of? And I remember like the early advice that I had too is like, experience the world. Go out, do stuff, get new specifics, read, do all those things so that you can talk about anything, have opinions about anything, and like have life experience, you know? Like,
yes.
So one of the best things you can do before a show is just take a walk and be observant of the funny things that are around you because they are there all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll be more aware of like what's funny in scenes because you're aware of what's funny. Like in real life.
Sure, and what you think is funny too.
Yeah.
I could walk around and laugh at a bush that you wouldn't laugh at, but you don't know why I'm laughing at it. But I could tell you why maybe in a show.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask this. Like, it's your first year on a Herald team. What are like some of the differences between first year on a Herald team versus like your first year on a mod team?
Okay. Lots of differences.
Yeah.
Specifically for me, for my first year on a Herald team, I was pretty nervous because of after I got the people on my team, because our team was like half people who are returning to Herald Night and then half new people. And I was one of the new people and I was worried that I would not be as good as other people's old teams or like people who got split up from a team they might have loved now get me and I might ruin things for them or all these like dumb, insecure thoughts, right?
Yeah.
But that's mostly what I felt being on this new Herald team. But in contrast with mod teams, it feels a little more individual in the sense that you're coming in as an actor and all you do are these characters throughout the whole audition process. And so you sort of feel secure in yourself, or I did, because I just came in with what I thought was funny as these characters.
Yeah.
So once you get put on a team, you're like, okay, well, all I have to do is bring like what I think is funny. And then the writers will just take whatever they want. And maybe it's because I had been on sketch teams before in college or something like that, that I felt a little more comfortable being like, it feels a little more individual. Like, I wouldn't so much affect anybody else in our one show because we could talk and plan about it beforehand. But with Harold's, I feel like I want to be somebody that people can trust and not somebody and who can help and support, right? So I didn't want to not be that for somebody. So that's why I felt so nervous.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. Like with Maude, you kind of go in with a very specific skill set that's been seen and kind of vetted.
Yeah.
And with improv, it's always going to be different every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, changing subjects here, because I just thought of this, and it's a question that's like pretty important to me, is like, What does improv do for you? Like, why do you keep doing it? Just for anybody who's listening to this podcast to be like, do I relate to that? Why do you keep showing up?
Strictly talking business, it helps so much with my acting, and it always has, because a lot of times it's just words on a piece of paper, but doing improv, you can feel how they connect, because you can just feel why somebody would say these things, since we make up scenes all the time.
Yeah.
So it sort of helps things make sense and put yourself in different situations quicker and be comfortable with them, right? But mostly for me, why I do it and why I've been doing it since fourth grade is like, maybe being an only child has a small percentage of it, which is like all I did was play pretend with myself all the time.
Yeah.
But I just love telling stories. I love to tell a story, and improv is just like storytelling, right? So that's why I keep doing it. It's a new story that is told for the first time and won't be told again, and it's always exciting in that way, where you get to hear a new story, watch a new story, and it's surprising because there's other people with you. It's collaborative, and there's other people there to tell a story with you, and you don't know how they're going to add to your story, and it's fun. It's just like fun to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you were talking about fourth grade, and I was never a lonely child, but
excuse
I was a lonely
you.
Child.
Oh, I see. I'll allow it.
No, I was a military brat and got moved around a lot.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
specifically remember, like, around that fourth grade age, like, moving to a new place, not having any friends yet, and, like, just being alone in my bedroom making up movies, you know, like being the star in a movie that I was acting out, where I'd play all the characters in my room and my bed was a race car and all that. Like, and I think like that's where the roots of it start. Like, it's hard to know when we first start improvising, to be honest, because it is a lot of it is make believe, your ability to have an imagination and to surprise each other, like you said.
Yeah.
I think that's why I still do it, is it's still surprising and magical in a world that like sometimes lacks magic.
That's
the
right.
ability to like stand across from somebody and make something up that's very funny.
That's right.
And will disappear. You know?
Yeah. I liked it a lot when I was little because it made other people think I was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's fun to be funny. But what I like most about it now is to use it to like discover relatable true things or play like truths and realities for people.
Yeah.
Then that's what makes them laugh, because I feel like I've spent too much of my life being a goofy human being, and I do that all the time now, that it's more rewarding in a show and I could do something really real, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like that.
All right, well, let's change gears for a second. Like, let's get back. This is an interesting dynamic. I'm your current coach.
You're
a current player. Like, What are things that you need from a coach, like whether it's an indie group or a teacher, an instructor, like, What are helpful ways to like that have helped you grow as an improviser?
I like to hear from coaches how they process information and how they play things, like how other people frame second beats, or how to think of an idea for a group game, or if you hear a premise, like what are ideas you could initiate from? Because I don't know why, I learn from other people's examples, because I like to see how other people think, but that's only cool if you see like multiple coaches, which is really fun, which I guess I like to hear other people's thought processes, because from that I'm someone who can just take what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to hear everything and then use what I can apply. I also try everything.
Yeah.
But then I like get rid of stuff where I'm like, oh, my brain doesn't work like that. No. So that's what I like, of a variety of like people's processes, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
So specifically to like our team, I like when like we get notes and then everybody talks about what they were thinking about during our run, or like during a run of a Herald.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's interesting that you thought that. And then your notes were about this, and putting it all together with thoughts in my head.
Yeah, I think like sometimes ensembles don't have conversations about what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this especially exists when you are, maybe it's your indie team or like those groups, or you talk about what form you want to do, but you don't talk about like what do you want to do when you perform beyond the we did two beats and then we did a group game and that, but like what do we want our shows to be like? What do we want our style to be? And can we even get on the same page? Like do we find each other funny?
Right.
You know, like those early chemistry tests are so funny where like you're like 6 weeks into being in someone's garage and you're like, I don't think we like each other. Why do we keep showing up for this?
And then it falls apart from there.
What up, Jabroniacs? This is Dan Black from the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where the world of comedy collides head-to-head with the world of professional wrestling. Past guests on the show have been WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler, WWE superstar John Morrison, WWE superstar Damian Sandow, plus hilarious comedians Lucas Brothers, Dante Germain. The list goes on and on and on. You can listen to the podcast every single Thursday. We are part of the UCB Podcast Network, jabronis.
Hey, improv fans. If the suggestion for your next show is beer, maybe initiate your scene with something like, check it out, they've got Bronx beer on tap at this bar. It's the start of a great scene, and ordering a Bronx is a great way to start any night out. And Bronx is now the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information, and be sure to make your next pint a Bronx. And scene.
Another thing I like in workshops and practices is being tricked into learning something.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a lot of workshops where you start out with an exercise. You don't know why you're doing it. And then you do another exercise that seems related, but you have no idea. And by the third exercise, the coach is like, you've all been working on revealing truths this
whole
time.
Oh, you love the big reveal?
I love it. I love it. Because then I get to go back in my mind and be like, oh, all of that was important because of this greater reason. And I like framing things up like that. I like to be, surprise tricked in a workshop. I love it.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
What do you enjoy seeing on stage? Like what scratches like your comedy itch?
Oh, ensembles. I love it. It's exactly what I love to watch in like film and TV too. I love an ensemble of any kind. I just love people working together. So everybody's group game is always my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everyone always just like being goofy all together is my favorite.
Is Herald your favorite form, or do you have like a long-form style that you prefer over the others?
The most fun long-form show I ever did was, it was called Stardom, and we did an improvised teen dance drama.
Oh, great.
It was, like, based on Fame and Center Stage, and we just, like, had the same character every time, and we'd improvise basically an episode of something like Center Stage or Fame.
Yeah.
And it was more narrative.
Was it like an improvised soap opera?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an improvised teen soap, but
cool.
We were in a dance school, and we did like three dances every show too. Improvised dances.
Yeah.
Like we practiced how to like make a cool improvised dance together.
Yeah.
I loved that show.
How did it run over a course of like weeks or?
Yeah, we did a couple months of this show.
Yeah.
We workshopped it, and then when we got a run, it was like a summer run for like 3 months.
So I did an improvised soap opera as well. It was at Second City out here, and the director that they brought in was Joe Flaherty, who do you know? He was the dad on Freaks and Geeks.
There you go.
Old school comedian from Canada and lived in Chicago for a while. And he brought in the form that he wanted us to do for the soap opera, and like a teen drama would have been great. What we ended up doing was it was very. It was something that I guess he wanted to work through. It was set in Chicago in the 60s at the like dawn of Second City. So we were playing.
Oh.
He would cast us as like, he'd be like, Mike, you're going to be Del Close for this. You're going to be John Belushi. You're going to be Harold Ramis.
Weird idea.
Very weird. and then when we would perform the show, when we would do the show notes after, he would be like, John Belushi would never have said that.
How are you supposed to know?
You're like, I don't know. Or like, I specifically remember a scene at a butcher shop and like the person playing John Belushi like ordered some food and he's like, stop. John wouldn't have ordered cold cuts. And you're like, wait, we don't know.
You participated in this man's like fan fiction.
It was. It was. But I'll say this, same thing. One of the most fun things I've ever done, because when you get to play the same character over a course of eight weeks or mm-hmm. whatever, and you're improvising, mm-hmm. you get to live in that character's, like, that's what I was saying earlier. You live in their shoes for a while, and you research them, but you're still improvising as them.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a thrilling but insane ride.
Oh, yeah. Did you get to come up with your character? Or were you?
No, he assigned you your characters.
I got to come up with my character, which made it even better.
He would assign the characters, and he also side-coached the show while it was on. So, like while you were on stage, it was very endearing in times, but there would be times where he'd be like, all right, so, edit. In this next scene, Del Close is called a moron by Harold Ramis.
You'd figure out
how that happened.
It is a fanfic. It's even deeper than I thought it was.
It was. It was definitely working through.
Oh, no.
Very fun. Very, very fun.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You talked about group games for Harold. Is that your favorite part of a Harold?
Yes. Yeah. And it's always been my favorite part of a Harold, too, because I feel like that's the one where you have to think less and follow the fun more, which I feel like I'm more well-equipped to do than to write on my feet.
I think that's a perfect, for somebody who loves Nickelodeon, that's the Nickelodeon spot of the show. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's like the fun. I always think of it as like a palate cleanser of mm-hmm. Everybody get back on board with something very silly to do.
Yeah, and I feel safe throughout the whole Harold, but I feel safest in a group game.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Do you like to start them, or do you like to wander into them?
I like both.
Yeah.
I like both, but I like to start them a lot, just to see where they go. Because starting them, you don't know what other people are going to latch onto. You know where the idea comes from,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know what the bit is going to turn into or the pattern.
Yeah.
And I like to be surprised. So sure. if I start it, I get to be surprised by like what it turns into, even if I had another idea.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a two-parter.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we kind of get a sense of who we are on an ensemble, like mm-hmm. like our role, you know, what we do. So who are you normally in an ensemble?
Yeah.
What's your role? And then is that the same for Leroy, or do you find yourself doing other things there?
I try to be the same in all places. Mm-hmm. And I like to play support mm-hmm. In everything, and not a lead.
Okay.
A lot. I think it's more fun to be support that comes in, helps get like a sidekick character is uh-huh. my dream.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's like where I love to live.
Uh-huh.
So that's my favorite thing. And I think that's my favorite thing to do. So I think I do that on the teams that I'm on, to be a little support.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I mean, as your coach, I think like you are a player that is very good at finding ways to support throughout. But if you do need to support by being the lead, mm-hmm. you'll be the lead.
Oh, you know? I will definitely do it. I have fun with that too, but I have the most fun being like someone who pokes their head in as a neighbor and then goes away and then comes back, or like yelling from the back line, some like small support. Like
I think, but I think it's okay to like that and to be good at that, because I think a lot of people's thing is like, no, I got to be the star. And it's like, this is not the form to be a star in, because on any given night, ideally, the team is the star, right?
Yes.
And maybe somebody popped their character or their beats popped the most, but they wouldn't have popped without everybody else making them look
good.
Oh,
and that's what I love.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to ask this this question that I saw recently in a Rolling Stone interview.
Oh, this is about music?
Uh-huh. No, not about music.
Mm-hmm, I'm ready for the music question.
It was an interview with Bono.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a music question.
It's a music question.
Got it.
What band is Bono in?
U2.
Yep. All right.
Yes.
I don't know why they asked him that.
Weird.
No, they said they asked. It was something like, if you saw a picture of your younger self,
uh-huh.
what would you tell it?
Oh no! What would I tell a picture of my younger self?
Yeah, knowing what you know now.
Knowing what I know now. Oh man. I don't know, because I haven't changed so much.
Uh-huh.
I like pretty much the same things. I eat more foods now, and I feel my feelings more. So maybe if I was looking at a picture of my young self, I would just let it know that it's okay to feel its feelings.
Okay.
At an earlier age, because I would just be like, feelings are dumb. You just got to be like happy and positive all the time. But no, I learned in college that you're like, it's okay to have a lot of feelings, and it's more interesting to show all those feelings. That's what I was talking about, like performing truths in improv mm-hmm. scenes, where it's not just goofy roller coasters all the time. Sometimes you get you have to get real, and that's what makes it important. Where it's like you have a real moment between these valid peaks of goofy times.
It feels like that's like it's like rounding the corner to adulthood in a way sure. with your comedy, right? It's yeah. like going like, no, I'm just having this like little epiphany myself. But it is that like at some point you go like, oh, this can be beyond silly.
Yeah.
Like it can tap into like real raw human emotions that like you didn't know how to improvise when you were 21 because you hadn't like
yeah.
been through a bad breakup, or you hadn't lost like somebody that you love, or you hadn't like scrambled to figure out how you're going to pay rent, you know,
right.
like you hadn't had those life experiences yet. Part two.
Oh, there's part two.
What would your younger self say if they saw a current picture of you?
Oh, they'd be so excited.
Okay.
I
yeah.
think they'd be so excited because yeah. I had a lot of worry about growing up in general.
Yeah.
Because my parents were always of the mindset of like, sometimes you got to grow up. Fun doesn't last forever. And sometimes you have to do stuff you don't want to do. And I never believed them. And so, and I think if a young me saw a picture of me now, I'd be like, yeah, that's right. You don't have to believe them. You can have fun all the time and
yeah.
be a good and still have an adult life.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Good, good. And kind of keeping in tune with this advice run, what advice do you have for people that want to do this so passionately, that love it? Non-improv related advice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or non-like just what else do they need to do?
I think it's really important that people do, this is so basic and simple, but just do what you want,
mm-hmm.
right? We spend a lot of time thinking about what other people want for us or what they expect us to do to get a certain thing that we might want. But you can't have fun unless you're doing what you want to do, even if you don't think that will get you the job or the team or whatever, insert thing here. You just need to do, trust yourself, do what you like. And that's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, what are ways that you did that?
Oh, yeah. Specifically, I went to UCLA for mm-hmm. acting, and we'd have some classes sometimes where they would talk to us about, like, how you have to dress to go to an audition.
Yeah.
Or, like, what you have to say, or, like, never shake someone's hand, don't look them in the eye, and, like, this is how to feel sadness, this is how to feel anger. And I was like, I don't fit into these molds, and I don't feel my feelings in, like, quote-unquote normal, regular ways,
yeah.
but it's still true the way I feel and the way I dress and what I bring into a room, but it's specific to me. So I did spend, like, a year trying to do, like, okay, what am I supposed to do? What did they tell me I had to wear? And then I got nothing, and I felt terrible about myself all the time because it didn't fit.
Right.
And it probably looked like none of it fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as soon as I was like, well, this is supposed to be fun,
uh-huh.
and I'm doing it because I want to have a good time because I love it, and I would go in, and I was myself, and I did what made sense to me from my point of view, and that's when things worked out because people can tell that fits.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to do something that you think you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So specifically for me, that's what happened. I had to do it wrong for a while before I was like, that doesn't feel good. It feels much better. Even if I don't get whatever I want, insert thing, it feels better still, even when you don't get what you want.
Yeah,
because you did it right in the process.
Yeah, because if you're not chasing it as you,
mm-hmm.
you're chasing it as a, like an artifice. And,
yeah,
and,
what? Yeah, just some mold
then who's
of a
getting
human.
It? Yeah.
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 Nope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do self-care now, like while you're going through it?
Oh, yeah. Self-care, I do a lot of, do a thing that makes you happy. So
mm-hmm.
if I get upset, I'll maybe like watch an episode of Phineas and Ferb, which is some Disney cartoon, or I'll like just go to Blast Off Comics and walk around. I won't even buy anything. I'll just look at the comic
cool.
books and be like, this makes me feel better. Or I'll get an apple pie. I love apple pie. get a piece of apple pie. I'm like, it's okay that I didn't do anything today. I feel okay because I did something for myself.
Yeah.
That makes me feel okay.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Do you have stuff that you're always working on? Or is there something that you're currently working on in acting or writing
mm-hmm.
or to get better at or a challenge to yourself, anything like that?
Yeah, I actually just like last week had a moment where I got really sad because that happens to people all the time.
Yes.
I had a moment where I was like, am I still doing good work? Like, I always think that I was way better a month ago than I am now. I don't give myself enough credit for growing or even staying at the same pace or whatever I am. I always think I like took five steps back when I could be in the same place or maybe five steps ahead. I just need to reframe my thoughts, which I've been working on reframing my thoughts and giving myself more credit for things that I'm doing, which a thing that I'm doing more now is writing. I used to just write for myself, but I'm trying to write for like not just myself. Which is harder.
No, but I think that's a good. I remember having that epiphany a few years ago. I was like, oh my gosh, I have access to so many funny people now in my life. What if I tried writing for them? And you go like, oh, it's so easy to write for your friends and stuff when you think about what characters you'd want them to play. It's a good writing exercise of just. Who would all these people be in a workplace ensemble?
Right.
You know, that's really great. What was I going to ask? You were talking about, what about people who are working on the other side of things, like sketch, character? Like, what can they do? What advice would you have of somebody who's, like, found success there?
Oh, it's so funny. It's the same advice. It's like, what do you think is funny? Do what you think is funny. I was, because Mod Audition sort of just happened, and I was talking to a couple of my friends and my roommate, and they were asking me, like, what should I do? What do they want to see? And I'm like, they just want to see what tickles you. Like, what do you think is funny? What is your point of view on comedy? And that's it, right? So I remember my roommate showed me, like, six characters that she had, and I sort of afterwards, I was like, these are all great, but you only like one of them, right? And she was like, how did you know? And I was like, because you only had fun doing one of them.
Oh, that's great.
And the other ones were just, like, great characters that are textbook, right? And they had great writing, but just do more of the ones that you have fun doing. And it had the simplest bit, and it wasn't as well written because it was just silly, and it was just having a good time, right? So you just got to do what you think is funny, and that's what impresses other people.
Yeah, that's like the journey, right? Is like when you first find it, because I did short form too, all you're doing is having fun, so you don't worry about it. And then eventually people start... You start thinking you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're told that, or and so you worry about it, and then you're not having fun because all you're doing is trying to do something right, and you're not following those instincts, those comedy instincts that you had earlier.
Yeah.
And I think, like, so much of that self-care, to go back to what you were talking about, now I remember it, is when you said you have that doubt itch, right, of, like, am I doing well right now?
Yeah.
I remember having the same doubts and still do, and I think part of it is as performers and comedians, we constantly want that validation that we're good, right? And it can't always be given to us. So at some point, you just have to have faith that you are good. And that's really hard to, like, give yourself permission to, like, be like, no, I'm good at this.
That's
and
true.
It's okay to have that faith.
That's true.
Right? And then just don't be an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes. Don't worry. That's not... No, I minimize everything I do, which is what I need to work on. I need to work on congratulating myself a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that you're looking forward to that, like, or goals that you've set next, you know, like...
Yeah. A big goal that I've set... Here, I'll say it out loud because then I'll hold myself to it. And it's not just a note card on my board. I want to do a one-woman show spank.
Great.
I talked about I want to write for other people, but no, my goal is to write a big old show for just me.
No, that's great. And to put it up this year?
Yeah, it scares me, so that's why I want to do it.
Yeah, good. Good for you. I need one of those. I have the same. I want to put up a one-man show. Maybe we should just hold ourselves to that.
Yeah. We can be in the same block.
This will be the accountability podcast.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Finally, I like asking this question to people that I coach. What are your character sweet spots? Like, where you're like, write me this character, I'll nail it. Or, like, I want to play this. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to play a small town sheriff. I think they're so funny.
You would be a great small town sheriff.
Yeah, like in a bad horror movie or a fun comedy. Like, I just think that small town sheriffs are such funny cliche roles.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love playing underdogs, all kinds of underdogs. Let's see. Let me get a specific one. Ooh, like a pool player hustler, like a teen hustling pool player. I don't know. That'd be great.
I would watch that spank about the competitive working your way up hustler. There used to be like a I think she was called the Black Widow. Did you know about her?
No.
Oh, you're a big figure skating fan.
Yes.
Which we could talk about.
Well, how much time do we have?
Not enough. But the Black Widow is like, she was, I just remember thinking like on ESPN4 or whatever, she's just this woman who like crushed it at billiards.
Yes, billiards.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, that's your spank.
Cool. Yeah. I would also love to play like a dumb mobster.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I like to play anything dumb. Like, if there's ever an ensemble or, like, a group scene, I would love to be the stupidest person there.
That's my other favorite, is the well-meaning doofus.
Oh, so well-meaning. Like, so earnest.
Yes.
So stupid.
Yes. Like, Andy Dwyer on Parks and Rec is one of my favorite, well-meaning idiots. Like, because they're like Labradors. Like they just, like, are sitting there and, like,
yes.
They just want to please you, but... like, they'll chase a ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the flip side, here's my other perfect character.
Yeah.
A villain.
Mm-hmm.
A goofy villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dumb goofy villain.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like the Grinch in the live action movie or Doofenshmirtz in Phineas and Ferb, which I already mentioned once on this podcast.
Yeah, we got to start getting those advertising dollars from Phineas
and Ferb.
Hey, hit us, at us, Phineas and Ferb.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to wrap some stuff up here. Do you have anything that you are currently working on that you'd like to plug? Anything that people can go and see?
Oh, yes, please come to Herald Night. Come see Leroy. Mike coaches us. We're great. It's a great time. Also, come see Gorgeous, which is my mod team, which is all we've talked about so far. If you want to see anything else, I guess follow me on Twitter at @childclown_, because apparently somebody else wanted to be child clown before me.
Oof.
Creepy, right?
Did you, your child clown, child underscore clown.
Nope, child clown, then there's an underscore. Now no one's going to get it right.
Hey, look, if people are punching child clown into their email, then they deserve to get it right.
There you go.
Good for them. I love the idea that there are many child clowns right before you.
Yeah.
Good. We'll go and check that out. Myself, you can always catch Outside Dog 10:30 on Tuesdays here at UCB Sunset. And I'm Too Effing High, which is the second Tuesday of every month at UCB Franklin at midnight. That was our long-form conversation, you guys. How fun was that?
So fun.
All right. We'll have a next episode. It'll pick up next week with a new round of improvisers based here in Los Angeles, where Camille will return and host in about 5 weeks. Sound fun?
Yes, it does.
All right.
I'm going to look up some Rolling Stones questions.
Bono. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.
Thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, for their support. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer. And be sure to make your next pint a Bronx.